Line. Today is a full day in the life of our church. Immediately following worship, we have council, which means I won't be greeting you at the red doors. I'll slip on to the meeting. But if you have anything that you need to let me know, you can give me a call or send me a message. Later this afternoon, the youth group is meeting at my house. I've been working to get my porch ready to host folks. We're going to have a game day. I have a fantastic yard, so if you have yard games, bring those on too. And then tonight at 6 is the Agape Women's Banquet. I've got my shirt and my hat and my cowboy boot earrings ready to go. Okay, Kim says there are still a couple spaces available, so if you weren't able to sign up, you can still join us this evening. It is Dolly Parton themed. Next week, for the next 3-4 Sundays, we're going to begin a Sunday school class looking at the Bible, how the Bible was written, how it came together, what it means that it was written in this particular time. All kinds of Bible-related questions. How did it get to be the Bible that we know? And so we're just going to dive deep into that. I love it when folks ask questions and have questions. So if you'd like to join us, we meet at 9:15 in the fellowship hall, and we always have coffee. You'll notice in the prayers of intercession, at the last petition, there's a name that you don't know, Susan Esposito. Susan is a very dear friend of mine who died from pancreatic cancer this week. Susan was the office administrator of the church on my internship. And yes, Pastor Scott was my supervisor, but Susan was so significant in my formation as a pastor. She taught me how to use all of the office machines. She taught me how to put a bulletin together. She is forever the high bar that I will hold an office administrator to. And so I am very sad that she is gone, but that she is no longer struggling. And I give thanks for all that she meant and has done for me. Today is the third Sunday of the month, so we'll be taking up our basket offering after our regular offering. This month, it's going to Agape to support the Teen Parent Program and the bereavement meals that we offer to members who have lost a loved one. Okay, get your hymnals out and turn to 482. 482. This is the final communion hymn. Somehow the wrong music got put in the bulletin. The title and number are right, but the wrong music is in there. So put a little bookmark in this so that you'll be able to sing it for the third communion hymn. And finally, I want to recognize something very wonderful that has happened to Pastor Jennifer. This week, Pastor Jennifer found out that she won the 2024 Award of Excellence from the Associated Church Press for an article that she wrote for The Gather magazine on Psalm 23. And so I thought that we might want to celebrate with her and congratulate her on this Award of Excellence. She is a very gifted writer. If you do not subscribe to Gather magazine, let me know and I can help you do that, because Jennifer regularly is featured in the Gather magazine. I think that's all the, birthdays. I'm not sure where Brantley is, so I'm a little bit thrown off this morning. So celebrating her birthday this week is Isabel Heitman. She is turning 14. She starts high school next year, so this is a big birthday for her. Celebrating their anniversary are Mickey and Carol Conrad and Debbie and Herbert Frank. And remembering their baptism, Lori Cecil, Chip Blower, Brandon Everhart, Sharon Everhart, and Joyce Shields. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we have a few prayer shawls this morning. Okay, this sweet little pink one is for Ellie Sue Hannah. Ellie Sue Hannah. She is the great-granddaughter of Boyd and Janice Queen. And I think this weekend or next weekend they're going to go, is it this weekend? They're coming in next weekend, and so Boyd and Janice are so excited to hold her, and they're already fighting over who's going to get to hold her the most. So this is for Ellie Sue. This prayer shawl is for a friend of Jody's who is struggling with some things, and so we'll bless this. And this, I got to switch arms here because this one's heavy. This is for Reed Hernandez, who is Jody Hernandez's son, and he is graduating from state, or has he graduated already? Already. And so you see the state colors there, so we'll bless this one as well. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer, that you always hear us. The words that we speak, the thoughts in our minds, and all that is in our hearts that remain unspoken. We thank you for all of the different seasons of life and that you walk with us through each of them. We give you thanks for Ellie Sue Hannah and the joy that she has brought to her family. We ask that you would bless her and that she would grow just as Jesus did, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with you and all people. We give you thanks for Reed and his graduation and ask that you would bless him in the coming days and months ahead as he navigates all the future things of being an adult. Lead him and guide him. And for Jody's friend, we ask that you would bless them and care for them in ways that only you can. We ask that you would bless all of these prayer shawls, that as they feel the weight of these upon their shoulders or upon their laps, that they would feel the weight of the love and care we have for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. stand as you are able. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the one who was, and who is to come. Amen. Baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, and called to live the baptized life, let us give thanks for the gifts of baptism. Holy God, we give you thanks for the waters of baptism, waters that make a people your own, that restore to wholeness, and empower us to be witnesses in your name. Baptized into you, O living one, make us one as you are one. We give you thanks for the waters of baptism, waters that strengthen believers and give new life to beloved servants of your church, waters that extend your boundless love and cross barriers of our own making. Baptized into you, O living one, make us one as you are one. We give you thanks for the waters of baptism, waters that open the hearts of believers and give a voice in the night to those in captivity, waters that set your people on a new path, rejoicing in the Spirit's power. Baptized into you, O living one, make us one as you are one. Grant us grace, love, and life, O living one, that our every day is shaped by these waters. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the crucified and risen one. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Lord God, you teach us that without love, our actions gain nothing. Pour into our hearts your most excellent gift of love, that made alive by your Spirit, we may know goodness and peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Ava. Good morning, Abigail. I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. Are y'all doing okay? Yeah? Well, in just a minute, when you go to Children's Church, we're going to read a passage from the Bible that talks about how God will wipe away all of our tears. And so someday, at the end of time, Jesus is going to come back to earth, and Jesus is going to bring heaven with him. And when heaven is here and we are living in that heaven forever, there's going to be no more sadness, no more pain, no more grief, no more sorrow, and God will wipe away all of our tears. But I got to thinking about tears. What are some things that make us cry? When do you cry? Do you ever cry, Cameron? Do you ever cry when you're sad? Do you cry when you're hurt? Do you cry when you're angry? Sometimes if you're mad enough, right? Ava cries when her brother messes with her. Of course you do. Of course you do. Sometimes we can cry when we're happy. But I want you to know that it is okay to cry, that God created our emotions, our feelings, and God gave us the ability to cry. That's how God made us. And so it's okay to cry. In fact, in the passage we're going to read, it doesn't say not to cry. It says that God will wipe away all our tears because God knows that life is hard, that life can be sad, that life can cause us to get hurt, that sometimes we get angry. So there will be times that we cry. Doesn't say not to cry. It just says that God will wipe away all of our tears because God loves us and cares for us. And so the next time you are crying, if somebody says to you, don't cry, or they tease you about it, you just remember that God made you, and God made your tears, and God loves you very much. Yes, Ava? So one time when Ava's brother was messing with her and she started to cry, her brother looked at her and called her a crybaby. Oh, that wasn't very kind, was it? Well, the next time that happens, you can say, God made me, and God loves me, and God made my tears. You can tell him that, okay? All right, let's pray. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for each other.
And thank you for our church.
Thank you that you made us.
And you gave us feelings.
And that you made it possible
for us to cry.
Help us
to not be afraid
to cry.
Because you will wipe away our tears.
We love you, God.
Amen. Thank you all for coming up this morning. And I think Susan has Children's Church today, which is always very fun. So have a good time at Children's Church.
The first reading is from the 11th chapter of Acts. The apostles and the community in Judea heard that the Gentiles, too, had accepted the word of God. As a result, Peter went up to Jerusalem. Some of the Jewish believers took issue with him. "So you have been visiting the Gentiles and eating with them, have you?" they said. Peter then explained the whole affair to them, set up step by step from the beginning. "One day when I was in the town of Joppa, I fell into a trance while at prayer and had a vision of something. From heaven by its four corners. This sheet came quite close to me. I watched it intently and saw it in all sorts of animals and wild beast, everything possible that could walk, crawl, or fly. Then I heard a voice that said to me, 'Now, Peter, make your sacrifice and eat.' I replied, 'I can't, my God. Nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' And a second time, the voice spoke from heaven, 'Don't call profane what God has made clean.' This happened three times. Then the sheet and what was in it was drawn up into heaven again. Just at that moment, three couriers stopped outside the house where we were staying. They had been sent from Caesarea to fetch me, and the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about returning with them. These six believers came with me as well, and we entered Cornelius' house. He told us he had seen an angel standing in the house who had said, 'Send messengers to Joppa and bring back Simon, known as Peter. He has a message for you that will save you and your entire household.' I had hardly begun to speak when the Holy Spirit came down on them in the same way the Spirit came on us in the beginning. And I remembered what Christ had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' I realized then that God was giving them the same gift that he had given to us when we became believers in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And who am I to stand in God's way?" This account satisfied them, and they gave glory to God, saying, "God has granted the repentance that leads to life, even to the Gentiles." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the 21st chapter of Revelation. Then I saw new heavens and a new earth, for the former heavens and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. I also saw a new Jerusalem, the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, beautiful as a bride and groom on their wedding day. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's tabernacle is among humankind. God will live with them. They will be God's people, and God will be fully present among them. The Most High will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death, mourning, crying, and pain will be no more, for the old order has fallen. The one who sat on the throne said, Look, I am making everything new, and added, Write this, for what I am saying is trustworthy and true. Then the one continued, It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To those who are thirsty, I will give drink freely from the spring of the water of life. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once Judas left, Jesus said, Now the chosen one is glorified, and God is glorified as well. If God has been glorified, God will in turn glorify the chosen one, and will do so very soon. My little children, I won't be with you much longer. You'll look for me, but what I said to the temple authorities, I say to you. Where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. And you're to love one another the way I have loved you. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, that you truly love one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
You may be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Anna, that's what we say on Easter. And you're right, but Easter was several weeks ago. Well, remember, in the church, it is still Easter, because for us, Easter isn't a one-day celebration. We have a different calendar because we tell a different story. We get to tell the story of God's love for us and for all creation, and that through Christ's resurrection, all things, not just a few, all things are being made new. And so, yes, it's still Easter for us. We're still saying Alleluia. We still have our white paraments out. We're still singing Easter hymns. Because for us in the church, Easter is not over. We are still celebrating that Christ rose from the dead and that Christ will forever have victory over death. And part of what we're doing in these Sundays in Eastertide is trying to understand what the resurrection means for how we live our lives. And to help us do just that, In today's gospel lesson, we are transported back to the night of the Last Supper, to the meal during which Jesus would get up from the table and assume the role of a servant by washing the disciples' feet. Jesus was showing them and us, by example, what he meant when he said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." Interestingly enough, in this story in John's Gospel, the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples isn't the focus of the story. It's what happened during the meal, the foot washing. To give just a little bit of context, in ancient Mediterranean cultures, foot washing was commonplace. It was very ordinary. Not everyone in Jesus' day wore sandals, and even if they did, there weren't paved roads or sidewalks. And so, as you can imagine, people's feet would be incredibly dirty and dusty. And so when you arrived at someone's home, as an act of hospitality, the host would provide for you a basin of water for you to wash your feet with. If the host had a servant, they'd offer the servant to you to wash your feet. If not, you'd wash your own feet. Under no circumstance, never, ever, ever, was it appropriate for even the most hospitable host to wash their guests' feet. Never. Now back to the verses in John. When they were already in the middle of their meal, Jesus got up. He took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, poured water into a basin, and began to wash and dry the disciples' feet. Now, us modern day hearers, we think that this is a really lovely and touching story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. But what was actually happening was that Jesus had assumed the garb and the position of a servant. And for his disciples, in that moment, Jesus washing their feet was absolutely absurd, and it was outrageously offensive. Jesus was showing complete disregard for the social and cultural conventions. The disciples would have been shocked, and they would have been very uncomfortable that Jesus was washing their feet like a servant. This striking gesture of hospitality was absolutely unheard of. Jesus had taken the way that things were supposed to be, and he had turned them upside down. This unthinkable, incomprehensible, offensive kind of love, this is the kind of love that Jesus calls his followers and calls us to imitate. Because after washing their feet, Jesus gave them a new commandment. The commandment to love wasn't new, but the new is the new understanding that Jesus gave them. You see, Jesus' love is a self-giving kind of love. It's a self-emptying kind of love. And it's a sacrificial kind of love. And just hours before his brutal death, he wanted to leave his disciples with a few last words about how they were to go on without him. And he told them to love others like he had loved them in washing their feet. Jesus is telling them and telling us that we are to love others with a kind of love that is incomprehensible, with a love that doesn't know limits or expectations, with a love that doesn't always meet social or cultural expectations, with a love that turns the world upside down. Now, too often, this passage, this commandment, is mistranslated or misinterpreted to be a bland personal platitude, something like, be kind to one another or serve others. But to be clear, the kind of love that Jesus is commanding his disciples and commanding us to imitate is the opposite of sweet and sentimental. It couldn't be farther away from being a warm, fuzzy, feel-good kind of love that's easy. Jesus commands his followers to love others with a kind of love that startles and surprises, with a love that is absurd and offensive, to radically love others in ways that aren't expected, to love in ways that turn our expectations and the expectations of others upside down, to love in ways that upset and offend others. I mean, if you think about it, if the way that Jesus loved others upset those around him and offended them and infuriated them, why should we think that our loving others wouldn't upset and anger others as well? I mean, we see this happening in the Acts passage that Debbie read for us. Peter had visited the Gentiles, he had eaten with them, and it upset and offended some people. Right? Gentiles were outsiders. You weren't supposed to associate with them. They were the people you were supposed to ignore or at least avoid. They were certainly not the kind of people that you would go to visit on purpose, and certainly would you not eat with them. But a voice from heaven told Peter, "Don't call profane what God has made clean," which, by the way, is all things and all people, right? For God so loved the world, the cosmos, which means everything that God ever created. God so loved everything that God ever created that God sent Jesus to redeem it. Or from Colossians, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus and through him reconcile to God all things, whether on earth or things in heaven. And so Peter says, and I love this, "Who am I to stand in God's way?" Been thinking a lot about that this week, brothers and sisters. How often do we as Christians, which is another way of saying followers of Jesus, how often do we stand in God's way by not loving others as Jesus loved his disciples and us? How often do we stand in God's way by taking the authority upon ourselves to decide who is worthy of God's love and who isn't? Who are we to stand in God's way by putting any kind of boundary or parameter around God's inexhaustible love? You see, the gospel isn't going to be received as good news by everyone, right? Blessed are the poor. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible declaring God's love for the poor and God's call to give to the poor. But this isn't good news to the rich or to the greedy. It's not good news to those who want to keep what they have for themselves or to those who benefit from the oppression of the poor. God's love isn't good news for everyone either. There are a lot of Christians out there who want to decide who's in and who's out, who's worthy of God's love and who isn't. There are a lot of Christians out there who want to limit God's love to certain kinds of people. And to the people that want to put boundaries on God's love and limit God's love, to them the fact that God's love has no limits, that God's love has no boundaries, that God's love has no exceptions, that's not good news to them. And so Jesus tells his disciples and tells us, you are to love one another as I have loved you. This isn't a suggestion. It's not a choice. Jesus' words are not a recommendation. They are a commandment. Jesus commands us to live out the same kind of love and service that he has for others. We are to give of ourselves just as he gave of himself. We are to love as he loved, with a love that is unthinkable, with a love that is incomprehensible, with a love that has no restrictions, no limits, no exceptions. Sisters and brothers, may God give us the strength and grace to offend and upset others by the way that we love. May we not stand in God's way. And when we do, may the Holy Spirit convict us and help us to repent and do different. And may God grant us the courage to continue to turn the world upside down by loving others as Jesus did. Amen.
And trust, let us confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of the sea and the God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Fill the church with the spirit of your redeeming love. Make us steadfast in our proclamation of your grace for all people without exceptions, especially those often overlooked in our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Awaken joy in the beauty and abundance of your creation. Show us the wonder of your presence, from the smallest flower to the tallest tree. Recommit us to preservation of wild places. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Instruct all world leaders to protect the most vulnerable among us. Guide those in power toward equitable and with just economic policies, so that all might have sufficient resources to live safely and with dignity. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Pour out your love on all in need of care, those mourning losses, enduring trauma, experiencing broken relationships, yearning for companionship, or facing illness, especially Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Rosala, Eddie, Pam, the family of Jean Kepley, Bob, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Wipe away every tear. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Abide with all who are victims of racism, especially people who are doubly marginalized because of gender, sexuality, or ability. Destroy all forms of systemic oppression and renew our commitment to healing the wounds of our collective body in this community and beyond. Hear us, O God. We give thanks for all the saints whose lives bear witness to your redeeming love, especially Susan Esposito. Guide us by their example until we join them in your eternal home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Along with these gifts, we pray.
Come among us again.
Breathe your life into us and enliven us with this meal, that we may live as your risen body in the world. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, with cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit, with your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The risen Christ is made known to us in the breaking of the bread. Come and eat at God's table.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Living one,
in this feast you have made yourself
known to us. Send us now to tell your wonders, sing of the glory, and proclaim your risen life to a wounded and weary world. Amen.
The triune God, who was
and is to come, sovereign Savior and Spirit, light your way with resurrection dawn, now and always. Amen.
Together, as united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God.